So for those of you who are listening to this, we're looking at Acts 28 today. And this morning, my title is Shake Off the Snake. Firstly, can I just say, please nobody try a Steve Irwin. Don't try this at home. We're not talking about literally shaking off snakes. But I do want to talk about Paul's response here that we see in Acts 28. So the context here is that Paul is a prisoner. He's been on this boat of prisoners. Julius is the Roman centurion supervising them. They're headed for Rome. They get shipwrecked. And the island of Malta would have probably been known by these sailors, but not this particular part of it that they end up on. And we read that it's rainy, it's cold, and so the islanders build a fire, and Paul pitches in and helps. So he's doing a good thing here, and in the midst of helping others, of doing something for the welfare of all, and just cracking on, the snake jumps out at him and attacks him. So to us, we identify serpents or snakes with Satan, don't we? With evil, with wickedness. And this would also have been the case in Paul's day. Even in the Apocrypha, in the Wisdom of Solomon, Satan is a serpent. And the word used for viper here in verse 3 is translated from the Greek word echidna. I can't say it exactly properly. It sounds a little bit like a Klingon word, doesn't it? Echidna. Did I just say Klingon? Did I just admit that I used to be a Star Trek lover? So this word is used 5 times in the New Testament. One time it's used for a physical snake, which is here. The other 4 times it's used is when wicked men are being referred to, or wicked people. So Jesus uses this word when he says, "You brood of vipers," when he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good?" So there's a real clear sense here of wickedness and evil with this word, and with vipers or with snakes. And I love Paul's response here. Paul simply shakes off the snake into the fire where it can be consumed. And he doesn't scream out, "Why God, why is this happening to me?" He doesn't scream out for a plaster. I thought, you know, if this was happening today, we'd be like, "Quick, get the first aid kit." But no, he doesn't scream out. He just shakes it off and cracks on. And as we serve Jesus, the enemy is going to attack us. And we can choose how we respond to those attacks, to the snakes that come out at us. We can choose how we deal with evil and wickedness that may emerge in certain situations and attack us. So we must not be put off by attacks when we are doing the right thing. We should not take that attack as an indicator that we should give up. And I want to encourage you today, don't stop doing something for Jesus because you're under attack. Shake off the snake, throw it into the fire and keep going. Trust God that you'll be okay, that he can bring you through it, even if it stings or hurts you for a little while. Paul carries on with his mission of serving Christ, despite what people think or say about him. So when the people see the snake attacking Paul or fastened onto him, they believe that he's a murderer. And the Greek word where just this is referred to in this passage is dike. Verse 4 in the NIV translation says, "When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, 'This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live.'" And in ancient Greek mythology, Dike, the goddess of justice, is the spirit of moral order and fair judgment. Dike's parents were Zeus and Themis. Themis was known as a lady of good counsel. So both Dike and her mother were these personifications of justice. Dike's sisters were Eunomia, the goddess of good order and lawful conduct, and Irene, peace. So the people on the island, as they observe this, they know that he's a prisoner, so they've assumed that he's a murderer, and they think that this is some kind of divine justice, that blood's being avenged. So from their perspective, you know, this is only fair, this is the right thing that's happening. Now, according to a Google search, the average time until death after a bite is 30 to 60 minutes. That's from todayifoundabout.com. You might want to verify that. But the NIV version, verse 6, says that the people waited a great while. After waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, and it goes on. So at least for a while, we don't know exactly how long, but at least for a while, Paul has to deal with everyone around him thinking that he's a murderer and that some kind of justice is happening by him getting bitten by the snake. And what I think is interesting here is that one minute Paul is a murderer and the next minute he's a god. All within quite a short time frame. And I wonder how it would have affected Paul and his mission if he let all the talk that was going on around him and people's opinions stop him from serving Jesus and from continuing to do a good work. And maybe some of us in here today feel like quitting or dropping out, or like we can't really serve Christ anymore because of any of the following. You feel misunderstood. You feel that people don't really see who you are. People get the wrong idea about you. You feel wrongly judged and like you're tarred with some kind of brush, maybe even because of your past. But God knows exactly what's going on, and he sees you. He knows who you are. He sees your heart, and he's got you. Psalm 139, David says, "I'm an open book to you." This is the Message translation. "You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going." These people on the island had the wrong idea about Paul, but it didn't stop him achieving great things for Jesus. And undoubtedly, Paul had to deal with people's opinions about him and judgments of him following his conversion too. But the opinions of others did not determine his output. They never stopped him from being a servant of Christ. And this is what Paul says about the opinions of others in 1 Corinthians 4. He begins by saying that we're servants of Christ. And then he goes on to say, "It matters very little to me what you think of me, even less where I rank in popular opinion. I don't even rank myself. Comparisons in these matters are pointless. I'm not aware of anything that would disqualify me from being a good guide for you, but that doesn't mean much. The Master makes that judgment." How many of you are aware of the Kanye West discussion that's going on at the moment? I don't know if you will have heard his latest album. So Kanye West is a really famous rap artist, he has said that he's a Christian, he's born again, and he's released these albums. Personally, I love his albums, the new ones with the gospel songs. There's some great music on there. And a few people have asked me what I think about Kanye, and my answer to them, well, God is the judge. It's not up to us to judge his heart. We don't know his heart, but God does. And you know, if anything, we should be praying for Kanye. And he actually, he's released this song. Have a listen to it if you like gospel, if you like rap. It's called Hands On, and he raps this song, and there's Fred Hammond on there as well, who's a really famous, renowned gospel artist. And in this song, he talks about how, you know, he's become a Christian and he's coming to the church, and the Christians have been the quickest to judge him. And he kind of, the song just basically says, "Somebody pray for me." And so let's remember not to jump to conclusions about others around us based on what we see, but to remember that really only God knows exactly what is going on with someone and in their heart. Anyway, Paul remembers who he is, why he's doing what he's doing. And he refers to himself in his letters in Philippians, in Titus, Romans, and in Corinthians, as we've seen there, as a servant of Christ. And there's a song that I love, a gospel song. Does anyone know Sinash? Or if I say Waymaker, you'll probably know the song Waymaker because we sing it so much here. And Sinash is a gospel artist. She's written another song called I Know Who I Am. And does anyone know it? It goes, I know who I am. I know who God says I am. Okay. Sorry, no one knows it, and it's so funny because some churches that I would go to, they would know the song, but it's different, isn't it? Different churches. But I Know Who I Am by Sinash, and you know, she sings, I Know Who I Am. It's a really encouraging song. If you like gospel music, you know, listen to it. I Know Who I Am. I know who God says I am, and where he says I'm at. And I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles, you know? And I want to encourage us to crack on with serving Jesus, regardless of what is said about us, what other people think, remembering that we're servants of Christ, that we're children of God, that we're men and women of God, and also remembering who our God is, that he is a miracle-working God. Amen? That no work is too hard for him, that nothing is impossible for him. Amen. And I'm reminding myself of this as I look forward to some things in 2020, to Unashamed, which is going to be happening again in 2020. I remind myself of these things, and there will be challenges, and sometimes we will face attacks and oppositions, but we need to remember who God has called us to be and who he is. There were a whole crowd of people around Paul that got it wrong about what was going on, that got it wrong about him. But he still cracked on, you know, he still served Christ. And I want to encourage us to keep serving Christ and to work to please God rather than people. Galatians 1 verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We need to remember what God has said. Remember the words that Jesus has spoken to us. In Matthew 10, when Jesus is giving the Great Commission, he says that, you know, the disciples are going to be proclaiming so much love, but experiencing so much hate. And he says, but don't quit, don't cave in. It is all well worth it in the end. And Paul would have been well familiar with these words. He will have had these words to hold on to. And also, when we are attacked, let's choose to have faith as we remember what God has said to us, to hold on to his promises and onto his word. Jesus also says in Mark 16:18, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. These words also Paul would have been very familiar with as he faced all that he did, and I imagine that he would have held on to those words. Paul remains focused. He keeps serving Christ. And for us, there are some specific promises maybe that we really need to hold on to in faith that will help us not to give up as we enter this new year, which will undoubtedly bring a new set of challenges. Maybe there are some practical things that we can do to help us with this. So, who has the YouVersion app? I love the YouVersion app. If you have a smartphone and you know what an app is, you can get an app. Download the YouVersion app and you can get your daily Bible readings on there. You can listen to the voice of David Suchet reading out the Bible to you. If you don't know what that is and you want some help, come and speak to me afterwards and I can show you what it is. But you know, maybe you need to be highlighting some things on YouVersion. Maybe you need to be printing out some particular scriptures words that are going to help you with something specifically that you're holding on for in the new year, that you're asking God for, that you're trusting God for. Maybe you need to take those things and print them, put them on your walls, put it on your fridge. You know, maybe you need to reread some certain scriptures each morning during the week. Maybe you need to start listening to some really encouraging, edifying music. Maybe there are some particular songs you just need to listen to a few times that refer to the scripture. Maybe you need to start a new playlist in your Spotify library of edifying, holy music. And you know, maybe you need to find a prayer partner and get into a prayer group and encourage each other. You know, I have a prayer partner and we're able to encourage each other of God's promises and remind each other of who God has said he is. And, you know, they sent me a message the other day and it just really encouraged me. And I thought, yeah, you know, I'm going to keep on keeping on with this particular thing. And it really encouraged me. So maybe we need to just find a prayer partner. Maybe we just need to remind each other of what God says despite how bad things may look. Maybe we just need to pray together for victory. Paul listens to what God tells him and believes it. Previously in chapter 27, Paul says how an angel of God spoke to him. He says, "Last night God's angel stood at my side, an angel of this God I serve, saying to me, 'Don't give up, Paul. You're going to stand before Caesar yet, and everyone sailing with you is also going to make it.' So, dear friends, take heart. I believe God will do exactly what he told me, but we're going to shipwreck on some island or other." So Paul, quite clearly here, chooses to believe what God has told him. So let's believe the word of God. Let's believe God when he says things to us. And there may be times when all we have to hold on to is what God has said to us previously. So are there some specific moments when God has spoken to us about something that perhaps we've brushed aside or we've maybe forgotten about that we need to remember, that we need to remind ourselves of? Let's not forget what God has said to us yesterday. Sometimes there are words that we need to hold on to and that will help encourage us. You know, I have a diary of encouraging words, and I'm really glad that I've written those things down. You know, sometimes when somebody came up to me and gave me a word and I weighed it, because we should always weigh the words that we receive, you know, and I've written those words down, and maybe particular scriptures that are particularly helpful to me. And you know, I'm so glad that I've written those things down and that I just have a look at from time to time at those words, because it's so easy to forget. In our daily busy lives, it's so easy to forget, hey, God really spoke to me about that thing a few months ago, you know? The Holy Spirit warns Paul. We see that in Acts 20, where the Holy Spirit warns Paul about trouble ahead. And so the Holy Spirit will help us and guide us, and we need to listen out. The Holy Spirit will help us in the fight. And when the enemy tries to take a hold of us, to fasten onto us, even to poison us, let's have a firm grip on God's word. We can either choose to put our focus on the terror of what may be happening to us, or focus on what God has said and his promises. And how many of us are a witness in the way that we respond to these attacks? Not just the initial response, but what we do afterwards. Because here, what did Paul do afterwards? Well, he stays focused on serving Christ and he carries on going about healing people. verses 7 to 9, chapter 28, the head man in that part of the island was Publius. He took us into his home as his guests, drying us out and putting us up in fine style for the next 3 days. Publius's father was sick at the time, down with a high fever. And then it says that Paul went into his room, and when he laid hands on him and prayed, the man was healed. Word of the healing got around fast, and soon everyone on the island who was sick came and got healed. Paul continues to do God's work despite this attack that he's just faced. He continues healing the sick. Out of this situation that has happened, from that snake bite, God has worked some good. Publius is described in the Message translation as the head man in that part of the island, and he was most probably the Maltese representative of the Roman praetor to Sicily, to whose province Malta belonged. So he was considered a fairly important person. So, you know, when his father's healed, the word spreads pretty fast, and all of the sick on the island come over for healing. So out of this attack, some good happens. God brings good out of something that really was not very nice for Paul. Out of a shipwreck, a snake attack, all of this, God is able to bring out some good, and people are healed. And I want to encourage you today, because maybe you feel a bit wrecked, like things have gone wrong for you. But do you know God can bring something amazing out of it all? In all of that, he can do a work. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Interestingly, it's not until when the fire is lit or when the snake is near the fire that it jumps out. The Greek word used there for driven out by the heat is to go or come forth of, to depart of, or to escape. The snake has to come out of hiding because it can't cope with the heat, it's uncomfortable with the heat. And when the fire starts to really burn, that's when all the snakes start to slither out. When the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning from within us, we're probably going to get bitten. So we may get attacked, we may get hit, but we won't go down. We can shake off the snake and carry on in faith. The people expected him to drop dead when Paul had been attacked and been bitten. Who is glad today that God has helped you shake off some snakes? Yeah. That you're still here, that you didn't drop dead, that you're still here, that Jesus is alive in you. And I know that in this space that there are many testimonies of how God has helped you overcome the attacks of the enemy. And perhaps before we enter 2020, there are some snakes that we need to shake off. Perhaps we need to receive some strength, not to give up. Maybe people's talk has affected you. You know, Paul, he could have focused on all that had happened to him. He could have been distracted by all the things that people were saying, all this, you know, wrong idea that, you know, he was being avenged. But he shook it off and he remembered his purpose. And the devil wants to get a firm grip on you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. But you have the power to shake him off into the fire and continue to do God's work. You know, there's an eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We know that. Matthew 25, verse 41. And so, you know, we can shake off the snake and leave it to God, because God will take care of it in his all-consuming fire. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. submit yourself to God and you can resist the devil. Does this make anyone else want to rejoice?
Yeah.
I know that it makes me want to rejoice. You can resist the devil.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how, you know, how horrific that attack is. Through Jesus, he has overcome evil. He gives you strength and you can resist the devil. We can overcome evil. Maybe even, you know, some of you feel like the devil has got a hold of you, he's got his teeth into you and he's got a hold of your life and you need to know freedom. Well, I have good news for you, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Is anyone else encouraged by this?
Yeah.
I know that I am. So let's just pray a prayer today. With every eye closed and head bowed, I'm just going to pray this prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you are with us in this fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. We put all our hope and trust in you and receive strength, knowing our help is coming from you. You are the source of our life. Help us to keep your word at the forefront of our minds. Thank you that you are right with us whenever we face evil and wickedness. Thank you for saving us. Thank you that because of you, we are free from the grip of the enemy. So in your name, we declare freedom and victory in this place.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We're just going to allow a moment now just for the Holy Spirit to move and to receive strength. Maybe the devil has his teeth in you and he has a hold on something in your life and you just want to be free from that before we get into 2020. Jesus has the power to break every chain, and with every eye closed, with every head bowed, no one is looking. I just want to give you an opportunity to raise your hand, to reach out for freedom, and together we will believe that God will break those chains.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we pray for anyone who may be struggling, where the enemy has a hold. We just declare freedom in Jesus' name. We command those chains to be broken. And now, Lord, we just ask that you would continue to strengthen us. And we receive strength from you for all those who are tired and weary, Lord God, who have been under attack. Help us to remain focused, Lord God. We're just going to take a minute now just to listen to what God is saying to us. God is with us.